A new year in business. What will economists be focused on in 2011?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts its trading day. And while some people are off work today, Wall Street is, in fact, trading. Coming up, we'll look back at the year in business and find out what we should be watching next year. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are down to close the year. The Dow is down 23 points at 11,545. The NASDAQ down about 0.4%, and the S&P 500 down about 0.2%. Looks like electric cars haven't quite caught on yet. GM sold less than 350 Chevy Volts in the car's first month on the sales lot. Meanwhile, the state of California says residents increased their gasoline use last quarter. That would be the second straight increase following almost 4 years of declines. Now let's get to that economic year that was and the year that will be. Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial, and he joins us live as he does every Friday. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
So what was the most important story in business in 2010 from your perspective?
Oh, it was definitely jobs. At least that's what I'll say when I'm in a good mood. You know, we're starting to see job postings in more and more industries. We are starting to actually see some hiring. And just last week, for the first time since before the recession, we saw the number of unemployment claims fall below 400,000. If I'm not in a good mood,
right,
well, then maybe it's municipal bankruptcy. Not that we saw municipal bankruptcies last year, but we saw an increasing number of cities on the edge. And that's definitely a story to watch as we go into 2011.
All right, so municipal bankruptcies, cities and states that are in trouble with their finances. What else are you going to be watching next year? What should ordinary Americans be focused on in the economy in 2011?
Well, you know, it's that second story that brings us to one of the themes for next year, which is that we're just not going to see as much of an economic push by the government, which means we're on our own more than we were the last 2 years. The federal government in particular, we still have little bits of stimulus coming from Congress, but it's unlikely that Congress is going to spend as much as it did last year. So that means we've got to rely on private industry and private consumption to keep the economy going. So that's one that we're keeping a close eye on, obviously. And then the other is the return of the financial markets. You know, retail sales were at their high at the end of the Christmas season. The stock market still isn't there. So that shows you that we're not quite as optimistic as we were a few years ago.
All right. Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, thanks so much for everything this year and have a happy new year.
You're welcome, and you too.
Thanks. In Illinois, the public employee retirement system is considered the most underfunded in the country. Gets back to what Chris Lowe was talking about with states and cities in trouble. And starting tomorrow, the state will effectively split the retirement system in two. From WUIS in Springfield, Illinois, Sean Crawford reports.
State lawmakers and Governor Pat Quinn have approved a new two-tier pension system. That means current workers' benefits will remain untouched, but state employees hired starting in 2011 will work longer to retire for less money. Illinois has a long history of failing to fully fund its pension system, and now the shortfall is threatening the state's ability to function. Mike Madigan is Speaker of the Illinois House.
It's currently acting as an impediment to the ability of the state to borrow money for activities that we've all agreed to do.
The new pension system has angered public employee unions. They contend it was politicians who let the system get in such bad shape in the first place. At least eight other states have tweaked their pension systems to save costs. Some state workers are required to chip in more for retirement accounts. Others have seen their cost of living increases reduced. Some unions have fought back with lawsuits. In Springfield, Illinois, I'm Sean Crawford for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies.
Starting at midnight, another nation will join the euro currency. This time, it's the former Soviet Republic of Estonia. It'll become the 17th nation using the euro, though Estonia has pegged its currency, the krone, to the euro for the last 10 years. Residents of Kiribati, a small island in the Pacific Ocean, were some of the first people to ring in 2011. But as many countries face a new year of tough financial decisions and government cuts, how much are cities spending on their celebrations tonight? From London, the BBC's Kate McGough goes around the world for us.
Despite Australia's worst flooding in decades, the country spent $5 million on celebrations, the highest level of New Year's spending down under in more than a decade. The spending included a fireworks waterfall from the Sydney Harbour Bridge. 1.5 million people crowded around Sydney's picturesque harbour and famous opera house. Many camped in parks overnight for the best view, like this man.
Been here since 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Pretty long, but it's definitely worth it. Best spot in Sydney, I reckon.
Yet in London, while organisers expect 250,000 people will line the River Thames, 2011 is set to be a year of cuts in British government spending, reflected in the low-key nature of the New Year's Eve celebrations. The whole event will cost $3 million, and like last year, Londoners have to make do with 8 minutes of fireworks, down from the usual 10. The cost of the revelry in Vietnam may well increase by the most of any country, for the simple reason that this is the first year that the Vietnamese are celebrating New Year's on January 1st. Vietnam typically saves their biggest celebrations for the Lunar New Year that begins in February. But this year, Hanoi is going all out for the countdown, with a light show and DJs playing music to the crowds. From London, I'm the BBC's Kate McGough for Marketplace.
And finally, starting today, another workplace will be non-smoking: Navy submarines. Turns out the rate of smoking among submarine sailors is twice the national average, about 40%, which means let's just be thankful we're not on the submarine with them today. It's probably going to be pretty unpleasant. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. From all of us at Marketplace, Happy New Year. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Mailboxes are stuffed this time of year with charity requests, but the economic and environmental costs can add up.
The vast majority of people don't even open the envelopes, so it really is a tragedy.
I'm Bob Moon, the value of direct mail, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.